From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be lying with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
As I said earlier, we played a game yesterday of what type of person are you? Well, AJ, because we're going to start talking college football here, I'm going to put a clip on the rundown. It's from last night's ECU Army game. And when you have it ready, you let me know. I just threw it under the audio. We're going to play a game of, is this disrespectful or not? ECU Army, it was ECU at home, and they have a pretty cool midfield logo during regular games. It's a giant North Carolina in midfield. And they have their pirate logo inside the state of North Carolina outline. This time, because they were celebrating, I don't know if it was strictly the armed forces or because Army was there, they did it. It was their USA theme night. So it had the stars on one end of the state of North Carolina, then their pirate logo, and also the stripes on the other end. So Army's there. It's USA theme night. They did it. So they're up 21-6 in the game, and they're lining up for a field goal attempt. Late in the game, it's like 6-7 minutes ago, they're playing Army. If you know about Army, they're not an explosive offense. You probably have this game in hand if you're up by 2 touchdowns, 15 points actually. You're probably not going to lose to Army at this point, even if you miss the field goal. As long as it's not blocked and returned, you're going to have a good shot to win the game. And then this happens.
Fake. Got it. Pirates. Touchdown.
So I have a question for you, AJ. I think it was a walk-on that made it more special, walk-on holder. The fake was a snap to the holder or a walk-on that they snuck in faster than I guess the normal holder would be. He runs pretty much right up the middle. Army's not expecting it, and rightfully so. About 8 minutes ago, you're just expecting the 50-yard field goal attempt.
Right.
Is it disrespectful on USA theme night to do that to the armed services? You're up by 15.
That's true.
Against Army. They're not coming back in this game. They're not. It's not even a good Army team.
Right.
You're up 21-6. And let me look at the down and distance. It's 4th and 3. So you're inside the 40 on 4th and 3. You could just line up and go for it. Instead, you run a fake field goal against Army on USA theme night. Is it disrespectful or is the game just a game?
I think it's a little disrespectful, but I mean, I probably would have just went for a 4th and 3.
I don't know in that situation.
How much time was left?
Eight, 10, 8, 15.
Oh, okay. I mean,
it wasn't like 2 minutes ago.
Right.
He wouldn't do it. The coach wouldn't do it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought to myself, just go for it.
If it was college football 26, I probably would have went for it. Yeah. Either scenario, I would have probably went for it.
I don't know where I stand.
Yeah.
I feel like in that situation, I feel like you got to have the game in hand. If you want to try to score another touchdown, just line up and go for
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to the fake field goal against Army. On of all things, USA theme night. Hey, we know you're here. We're honoring that you're here. But that's an administrative decision. I'm a football coach.
Right.
He snuck the guy in and he ran it for a touchdown. Yeah, it's not going to be a good year for Army football. Sometimes they have some pretty good teams. Not this year. Anthony, I don't know if you're waiting until 11:30 to talk to Michael, because you brought up a topic regarding maybe the season finale of Alien and Earth. So I'm not sure about that. We'll get to the college football stuff here. Don't want to get you on if that's what you're waiting for. We'll ask you during the break if that's what you're waiting for. So, AJ, I know we got the Cougs tonight in Corvallis. But other than that, of course, when you're not filming high school football tonight, you'll be trying to find out how that game's going. If you look at the weekend, I kind of laid it out very early in the show. LSU, Ole Miss, you've got A&M Auburn, which you can hear here on ESPN 97.5. Also, you've got the two biggest games, Oregon, Penn State at 6:30, and then you have Georgia at Alabama at the same time. Which game, when I laid that out for you, are you most interested in?
For me, it's Penn State and Oregon, but I mean, probably like that and Georgia and Alabama, just because Georgia and Alabama was always a good game. Like even last year, even though personnel is different, you saw Jalen Milroe played against Georgia and stuff. Yep. So
and Carson Beck's not the quarterback at Georgia anymore.
Sure, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all good. I mean, LSU, Ole Miss, too. I mean, I'm going to probably go somewhere and watch all the games. So yeah.
I'm a multi-view guy, because I don't like watching games around people for the most part. just don't enjoy it that much, but I get the points. It's a good weekend to go watch the game someplace. Mm. Kirby Smart, 1-6 versus Alabama.
So far,
of course, the one win is the national title game. So
most important.
Yeah, he'll take that. He's lost one national title game to them with that was the Tua Jalen Hurts thing.
Right.
But he does have the get back against Bryce Young. So last year's game, a lot of points were scored. I was listening to a couple of podcasts breaking that game down. There isn't like a big time pass rusher for either team, and that has been something those two teams have had in the past.
Yeah.
They have two guys who haven't had a lot of starts, I'll put it that way. They've been around the programs for years, both quarterbacks, Gunnar Stockton at Alabama and Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, Ty Simpson at Alabama. Two guys who have been around both programs for a while, but they haven't started a lot of games. Ty Simpson, in his first true road start, didn't go well at Florida State, but that had a lot to do with the rest of the team. I haven't paid that much attention to Alabama since. They've run through the next two games really relatively easily. They beat up on Wisconsin at home, so they got to go to Athens. Georgia gave up a lot of points to Tennessee.
Yeah, they did.
Some of that had to do with their DBs just falling down, which is something I don't think that's going to happen again. I'm interested to see how Alabama responds. The last time that, as I said, they had a road game, they were not ready for it. It's the first game of the year. Maybe things have changed. They got called out for their effort, and that effort has not been a problem. Can Alabama hold up? Because Georgia hasn't been able to get there with four, so I think they're going to bring some blitzes against Alabama. And if Alabama can hold up, I think they'll have a pretty good day. They got, obviously, everyone knows about Ryan Williams, but Bernard's been pretty good for them too. And I think that could be pretty high scoring, mostly because neither team has, the guy we have here, a Will Anderson type, or the guy they just saw, a Javon Walker. So those guys don't exist currently on those rosters. So if you're watching that game, I think it'll be pretty entertaining. I don't know if they'll score as many points as they did last year with that back and forth game from last year, but I agree with you. The two night games are the ones I'm most interested in. The LSU Ole Miss game has funny things surrounding it because Whit Weeks, a linebacker for LSU, is dating Lane Kiffin's daughter, so that's funny to take a look at. Ole Miss has been good offensively this year, but they haven't seen anything like what LSU is going to bring to them. LSU offensively hasn't been very good, but Ole Miss isn't good defensively. So it is like the two weaknesses going up against each other and the two strengths going up against each other with LSU's offense against Ole Miss defense. And then, of course, Ole Miss's offense against LSU's defense. Actually, I'll take that back. The two strengths are opposites. So LSU versus Ole Miss, they have their strengths going against each other. I think I probably said that already. And then you've got the two weaknesses going against each other. So I want to see which weakness plays better. I think that'll determine the game. Can Ole Miss get enough stops to allow their offense enough opportunities to overcome what I think will be a pretty good LSU defense? They haven't played great offenses so far when you have Clemson and Florida on their schedule. despite the name brand. They haven't played good offenses, but LSU looks good defensively. So we'll see if Ole Miss, with their first real test, can put some points up, because I think as bad as Ole Miss defense is, I think LSU is going to be able to score a little bit as long as they can protect Nussmeier. But it's not surprisingly, you got a couple good matchups in the SEC. But as far as Penn State and Oregon are concerned, I don't trust Drew Aller. Never have. And James Franklin, against good ranked opponents, has struggled. He has them at home, and Oregon has to get over what happened to them against Ohio State last year. That's the last time people remember them, I think. New quarterback, certainly, but they had that game. They won the Big Ten, had Ohio State at the Rose Bowl, and Ohio State took them apart. And, of course, Ohio State went on to go win a national title. So Oregon has some things to answer for, because their schedule, all home games against bad teams, highlighted by Oklahoma State. I say that because that's one of the reasons Mike Gundy's now no longer the head coach at Oklahoma State. So it's a test of two teams who haven't been able to prove themselves because of the opponents they face. If we just go by what they've looked like, Oregon's looked better. And the more the receiver has been really good for them early. He's a freshman, maybe the best freshman receiver in the country. So he'll get a test in Happy Valley. A lot of Oregon's players haven't played, particularly their name guys, the guys who've been stars so far, haven't played a true road game like in a while as starters. Like, of course, Moore is a freshman. Well, the receiver Moore is a freshman. The quarterback Moore didn't play very much last year. He's a backup to Dylan Gabriel, and he was the starting quarterback at UCLA before he transferred. Let's just say it didn't go well for him on the road at UCLA. When he was playing for UCLA, nothing did. That's why Chip Kelly left. So Drew Aller's the more experienced guy, but I would still take Dante Moore, because if you start to look at some of Drew Aller's stats against the best teams he's faced in the last year or so.
Not great.
Not great. I mean, highlighted by that pick he threw against Notre Dame to in Penn State's hope of winning that Orange Bowl and getting to the national title game. So at least the semifinal in the national title game. So he has something to prove. James Franklin does as well. The thing about James Franklin is, if you put him up against a team who recruits better or similar to him, he's had real problems. Like Penn State, you run him out against the mid-tier Big Ten teams and maybe a mid-tier SEC team or an SMU from last year, they're fine. They're going to have better talent. But when you start to look at the talent and see that it's even, or maybe even the other team has slightly more talent, he has not done very well. So this is an opportunity for him to kind of shut some people up. It'll be a whiteout game, so it'll be Penn State's biggest home game of the year, welcoming Oregon to Happy Valley. Excuse me. So we got a big week, and even tonight, if you want to see FSU before they see Miami next week, I mean, they beat Alabama. They play like East Texas A&M. If you weren't aware that was a thing, me and you are the same, because I did not know that East Texas A&M played football until I saw them on the Florida State schedule, and then they beat up on Kent State. So they haven't played anyone since Alabama. It's a tricky game against UVA. UVA can put up some points, but that's a game that they have to just get through, because it looks like game day is going to Tallahassee. So it'll be if Florida State can win, it'll be the biggest Miami-Florida State game in, like, when was the last time either team was – well, each team was both in the top 10? Maybe 2013. Jameis was the quarterback when they won a national title. And that was one of those fake-out golden years where they were good for the first seven games because they played no one. And then when they started playing teams, they wound up like losing two out of their last three or something like that. So it's been a while, over a decade, since those two teams were both in the top 10 at the same time playing each other. So they got to get through Virginia, though. And they should. I think they're about a 6.5-point favorite in that one. It'll be Castellanos and Gus Malzahn. Now that offense is tricky. They will get on the perimeter with their speed, and I'm not sure Virginia can hold up just dealing with all the motions and formations that Florida State will run and the pace they'll play at. Right now it's a 7.5 point spread. Florida State's the favorite in that one. But Chandler Morris, who's been around college football for a while, he's transferred a couple times, I think. He's a quarterback at Virginia. So if you're looking for a game tonight, like the doubleheader, you watch FSU, UVA. You take a look at TCU, Arizona State, but then, of course, it's Cougs against Oregon State. So if you're planning to stay in, you got a pretty good night of football. Two ranked teams playing, with TCU playing against Arizona State. Of course, they're, TCU's 24th ranked in the country, Florida State's 8th. And then you got the Cougs trying to stay undefeated. I think they'll do that. Oregon State's been one of the worst Power 4 teams in the country this year. And that's a team who will give up points. They're coming off a blowout loss to Oregon, so they'll want to bounce back. But that's just not a very good team. I think the Cougs, the way they've played so far, and their defense will kind of be the key to that one. And in the Pacific Northwest. So it's a little scary that Oregon State hasn't won a game, or it just means they're flat out awful and nothing they're going to be able to do tonight can stop the Cougs from winning that game. So we'll talk to Willie Fritz on the John Lance Show next week on Tuesday. So we'll get a recap of what hopefully is a win and a 4-0 start for the Cougs as they get deeper after this one into Big 12 play. All right, Anthony, we'll find out if you want to talk to Michael. In fact, you know what? We'll just bring Michael in. We're close enough. We'll bring Michael in. He'll tell you what's good in TV and movies. He's the host of Comicast. He does that with John Lee. You can hear it here on ESPN 975 and also in podcast form. We'll get to Michael, Carroll, and Anthony, and anyone else when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us. He is the host of Comicast. You can hear that wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's true.
Apple, Spotify, whatever it is, whatever your choice of podcast provider is, you can find Comicast there. So he's here with us. He joins us weekly at about this time to discuss what's good or what's not good in movies and streaming. So, Michael, tell the people what they can hear on the latest Comicast.
The latest Comicast, issue 613, we discussed, Jong and I discussed the Mandalorian Grogu trailer, which I know you're not a fan of because aliens.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, I figured. So we talked a little bit about that and whether Star Wars is an event film at this point. And then we got into our latest reviews for Alien Earth Episode 7 and Peacemaker Episode 5. And just full spoiler discussions from there.
Got it. So, yes, the Mandalorian and Grogu trailer is out. You know, as a TV thing, the Baby Yoda thing flying around, doing Baby Yoda things, eating the eggs of another living being, you know, which we do. But it's a little weirder when the mother's standing right next to him. Fine.
You don't stand next to a chicken and eat the egg in front of the chicken?
I don't grab the egg out of the chicken coop and then crack it open and fry it right.
Fry it right in front of.
Seems a little disrespectful. Harsh. Yeah. A little disrespectful. Yeah. So I don't do that. But as a movie thing, where he's going to be very active because he's harnessing his powers, I just think it's going to look like a doll, which it is, floating around.
Yeah, it's an animatronic. It's
I don't think it's going to look good.
It's an animatronic. It looks cute. It's real.
I know. I just don't think it's made for the big screen.
But so, question, because the big thing is aliens, right? Like, that's your Star Wars. You don't like aliens.
I'm Andor pilled, actually.
You're Andor pilled. So is it just aliens that are heroes? Because we were just talking about Alien Earth. You're watching that.
I don't like talking aliens.
Just don't like if
I don't like aliens who walk on 2 feet. I don't like aliens with human characteristics.
Okay, there you go. Okay, there you go. Because I was going to say xenomorph kind of talk. You
know, yeah, so. But it's
in a weird one.
Yeah, sure, it's animalistic though, and it's all true. Trying to kill people. I don't like aliens who think and feel and and have lives that we're supposed to consider.
who have feelings?
Yeah, I don't need that. If you are a villain, I don't. Villain isn't the line because there are villains, aliens, and Star Wars that I don't care for either because they have thoughts and feelings that I don't care about or motivations that need to be explained. Look, they're going a little bit too far with Alien Earth because now this alien is subservient to this hybrid. We'll get into, I guess, a little bit because we have Anthony calling in. So the line is if you can express yourself in ways that. Whether it be an alien language or English, and you have feelings that I have to consider and take into account as part of the story, I'm out.
you're done with it.
I mean, I'll watch because I'm in the pop culture stuff, but I don't appreciate it.
You're sitting there watching like, this sucks.
Yeah, like I started watching, what's it called? It's a DC animated show.
Creature Commandos? Young Justice.
Creature Commandos can fit too.
Yeah.
I guess it's animated stuff. If Martian Manhunter's on there and he's talking, I don't mind it. But I think.
So if it's animated, it's okay. But if it's a live action Martian Manhunter?
You know what? Now that I break it down in this very dumb, nerdy thing I'm doing right now, I think it's Star Wars specific.
Wow. I think it may be Star Wars.
I think it may be. Because if Martian Manhunter is live action, I would watch it. It's fine. And to be honest, like Superman's an alien, but that we don't consider. But he's an alien himself.
He is an alien.
I think it's Star Wars specific. I don't want aliens in my Star Wars, which is really counter to what Star Wars is all about.
That's kind of a key part of it. That's like a key. Like there's a bunch of them.
That's why me and Tony Gilroy are like this. He rarely includes them, if at all.
Because, the Empire kind of. Does some things that wipes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of genocide of the aliens.
Just to be clear,
I just prefer
my Star Wars without aliens.
Yeah, they can live free and happy in a story that I don't have to watch. Is what I'm saying.
I got you. I understand. I understand.
Shout out to Tony Gilroy and the cast of Andor. But as far as Alien Earth is concerned, since you did bring it up,
I did.
Let's talk to Anthony. He wants to talk about Alien Earth. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Michael Dill? I haven't heard your podcast yet on it, but okay. Are you an Alien fan?
Yes,
I am. The original movie, part two.
Yeah, I am. Dill, are you?
I like the movies as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you like the show?
Yes, I'm in the bandwagon of I like the show.
I like the show. There are some things I'm kind of working in my head to get around, but as far as a general thought, yes, I do like the show.
Okay. All right. I can't.
Go ahead.
Anthony's like, oh, I can't with y'all, man.
I mean, it's fine if you have a differing opinion. That's what we're here for. I mean, you didn't have to like the show. I mean, it's okay. That's all.
Anthony, I fully expected you to just hang up the phone right when we said we both liked it.
you have a different vibe, and you can go ahead and tell us why you might not have liked it as much as we did.
All right, so no spoilers alert because I don't know if everybody else watched it, but so I think the only good episode was the first one, and then number two was like okay, and number five was okay. The rest of it. I hate all the characters, especially the children's cyborg, especially Wendy. The last two episodes, I couldn't stand her. I was hoping that the alien turned on her and killed her. I feel like they made the alien not scary anymore because the alien, to me, is like one of the best villains ever in cinematic history, and they turned it into not being scary. And basically putting the alien in a man suit to just look goofy. And the only two characters that was actually good and good actors is Morrow and Kirsch, but they had the fewest amount of time, and they focused on everybody else. And then the way they left it, to me, was just awful. And then the whole monologue speech that she had at the end, to me, was cringy. Seven, when she screamed, what would you do, like 17,000 times, was cringy. So I just felt like they knew that they were going to have a season two, and they just decided to be like, okay, well, let's just not try at all. And they had nowhere to go or no nothing to do because they knew it was going to be a season two. So let's just, like, wrap it up real quick. And true Alien fan, like, well, I want to, y'all are true Alien fans too, but that was the first movie I watched when I was a little kid. So I was, like, I'm a adamant Alien fan. So I feel like they basically just disrespected everything about Aliens. Like, don't put other aliens in a show unless it's a Predator. I don't even like when they put Predators in it. So I feel like you just leave aliens as is, because there's no other organism that, you know, anywhere close to them. They're on their own killing field. And they put all these other aliens on there that nobody really, well, I didn't really care about, besides the squid Billy thing. That thing was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they didn't really do that much with it either. So that's my take on it. So it's two good episodes. I give it a 4 out of 10, and that's, I really want to give it a 2, but episode 1 was so good that I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Dang.
So,
appreciate it, Anthony.
That's my feed.
like I said, there are some things I didn't like. You know, the whole alien, it can talk to the hybrid, and now the hybrid, now you make the alien sort of a pet. I can understand why people would be upset with the alien being subservient when it's the perfect killing machine. I did actually like the turn in the last couple episodes from Wendy, because she went from childlike and not sure of herself to very dangerous.
Yes,
she
went, very.
She went from like a killer herself in terms of what she could do if she wanted to do it. She was very aware of how powerful she was. So I did appreciate that. And how dare you disrespect Coach Taylor's daughter by calling her a bad actor.
She's good. She's good. I think the thing that with Alien Earth is that it took a huge risk doing it this way.
Yeah.
Because I Jong and I talked about it on the podcast. There is a world where you just make this whole season a long alien movie. Like, you extend episode 5 to be 8 episodes where you're trying to figure out who's sabotaging the ship, all that stuff. Like, there is a world where, and that probably works, but for me, it worked the risk that they took with what does it mean to be human in this case? And that we describe the xenomorphs as pets, and kind of, yeah, at this point, but it may also be just their goals align right now. I don't know that they're completely, because she's also not 100% sure of what she's saying to them at all times, as she mentions in episode 7. So goals may align right now because they relate in a lot of ways, but that may not be the case in the second one. Now, the other thing is, we don't know if there's a season 2 as of yet. It has not been greenlit. So Noah Hawley has talked about, you know, he kind of set things up to hopefully have a season 2, and because he has like a 3 or 4 episode or 4 season like plan that he has, but as of now it's not been renewed, so we don't know as of yet if we'll get to explore the series.
Michael has a longer as he mentioned, spoiler field breakdown on his podcast you can listen to, and it's all the episodes are out on Hulu. If you haven't, I'm sure if you even canceled it because of certain events the last week or so, you probably got a couple more days left before it's officially canceled.
Right. Hopefully not. But shameless plug is that next week we're going to do a full like season review / season finale review with the host of the official Alien Earth podcast, Adam Rogers. He's going to be on Comiccast next week. So
tune in for that. And as I said, you can hear Comiccast wherever you listen to podcasts, but also you can listen to it on ESPN 97.5. The times change from next week. It's back to 7-8 on Wednesdays. I can't guarantee you exactly. I try to tell you on Friday for the upcoming Wednesday, but it may not be from 7-8 on Wednesday, October 8th.
Crossing fingers, but hopefully, and seems like, Wednesdays at 7.
Wednesdays at 7.
Yes.
And it will be the case this upcoming Wednesday.
Unless we don't get a season 2 and then we get cut or something like that.
You never know. But right now, Comiccast scheduled from 7-8 on ESPN 975 on Wednesdays. And of course, as I said, wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get to a movie that's gotten a lot of hype. People think it's going to be great. People have seen it, believe in it. Let's talk to Eric. He wants to talk about Leonardo DiCaprio's latest movie.
Hey, Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, I was wondering, one battle after another is getting a good reviews. It's directed by Paul S. Anderson, the one that did Boogie Nights as well. I'm excited to see it. Have you heard good things about it? And also, Colin Farrell said earlier this month, he said the script for Batman 2 is amazing and it's electrifying. I want your thoughts on that. I'll hang up and listen.
So one battle after another is a movie with Leo. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, that means something to people. It has Tiana Taylor in it, Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn, Chase Infinity, who is a new young actress. She probably, if you saw Presumed Innocent on Apple TV, she played the daughter in it. And if you know how that played out, she played a more important role than you would have thought at the very end. So she's in it as well.
Regina Hall's in it.
So you got names all over the place. One of the Haim sisters is in it as well. I always say that because I don't know how to describe them other than she's one of the Haim sisters. So she's in it. So plenty of people you're going to recognize, including the great Wood Harris. He's in it as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wood Harris is in it. I think you mentioned it earlier about like not being tagged on anything because there was a screening for it. I didn't get invited. I'm not cool enough just yet. I'm working my way up. But everyone that went to that screening, everyone that I know of that has seen it has praised it for the most part. There's a couple of people I follow that are journalists. We're not as big fans on it. But for the most part, it's getting rave reviews everywhere. Film of the year has been thrown out there. Classic has been thrown out there. I don't know about all that, but if you want to go see seemingly a good movie this weekend, One Battle After Another starring Leo DiCaprio is available for you this weekend in theaters. Just be aware. I think a lot of people, like I was talking to Charlotte and Brenda about this, are in our sales and traffic side of things. It's 2 hours and 41 minutes. So just be prepared. If you want to go see this movie, it's not a 2 hour movie. It's 2 hours and 41 minutes. So
be ready.
Be ready to sit. And then the script for Batman 2. I saw what Colin Farrell had to say. I'm excited for it. Like, I mean, you could tell me like just that they did a scene, and I'll be like, I'm happy for it. Like, I can't wait for that because I did really enjoy Matt Reeves' the Batman from what was that 2022?
Yeah,
so
it's gonna be worth the wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be worth the wait. I agree. So
yeah, I'm interested in that, and it's one of those movies where I don't need. Well, of course, you have the Penguin, so there's already a world right. being built, but I don't need the greater DC to be in, DCU to be involved in it.
Yeah,
that becomes the case.
And I don't think you'll have to worry about any of that. I think it'll be more so like. I feel like we talked about it maybe last week or something where it's like it's going to be more just like a serial killer or something like that, like a Victor Zsasz, Calendar Man, some more realistic ones, less a Killer Croc, Clayface, Mr. Freeze, characters like that.
Things that
Man Bat
don't feel like they fit into the world that Matt Reeves has built.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Michael, the other one, on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk Marvel Zombies, hold through the break. I see you. We'll get to you. Let's go to break here. We got Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. If you want to call in about something, as you can tell, it can kind of pretty much be anything involved with TVs and movies.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. 713-780-3776. We'll get to Michael, once again, the other one, when we come back, and then Michael will give his you should watch or shouldn't watch. We'll do all that on the other side. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Simply put, if you're looking for a great car, go to Monument Chevrolet and check out the inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. They got great deals. Look, truck month is just about over, but it's still going on. And if you want a great truck, Monument Chevrolet is the place you go to. They have a deal going on with their Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab, 2.9% APR for 72 months. So if you need a truck, or if you just want one because you love what Chevy produces, Monument Chevrolet has them for you right now. And if maybe an EV is what you're looking for, they've got that $7,500 federal EV tax credit, or at least up to that, that you can try to find out if you qualify for. That also ends at the end of the month. So you've got truck month going on, a couple days left. You also have that tax credit that ends September 30th. So take advantage of the great deals. And then when you head on out there in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225, you meet the great people. So you combine the great deals with the great people, and you get yourself in a great car that you're going to love. Monument has been in business for over 50 years. That means they've made sure to treat people the right way for a very long time. Take advantage of their service. They're great, from the salespeople to the finance people. It'll be a smooth time, and your vehicle will be waiting for you, and you'll drive off that lot feeling pretty good. All right, MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. Remember that, and also this, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Michael, who wants to talk some Marvel Zombies, and then we'll get some recommendations from Michael Carroll. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to get y'all's opinion on the show. I started watching it last night, and I had to make myself go to bed, or I would have watched the whole season. So I really enjoy it. It'd be an awesome live action. But just wanted to get your opinions on it.
You know,
I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Mike. I've only seen when it was the episode that was part of What If.
Yeah.
I have not seen this season so far. It came out this week, so it'll be something I take a look at. I love the alternate versions of things. I've always liked that kind of trope, no matter what it was. So I will take a look at Marvel Zombies.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch. I've been watching Peacemaker and then, of course, Alien Earth. But I'm going to catch it this weekend. It's only 4 episodes, so it's a quick binge. I wasn't the biggest fan of the What If story, which is where this is all starting from. But everyone, a lot of people that I follow have really enjoyed Marvel Zombies so far. It is TVMA because of all the zombie attacks and whatnot. And it's a cool concept that is really cool in comics if you ever read those. So to have it explored in here, like Michael was saying, if there was a live action version, I'd be all about it. Because I think it's a cool concept to horror concept for Marvel to explore. And this is really highlighting a new generation of Avengers from the universe that we've seen, like a Kamala Khan, like a Shang-Chi, as well as Spider-Man and whoever else. I forget the exact team right now, but it's highlighting a good group. Oh, Blade, but he's also kind of Moon Knight or something like that. Like it's cool. So I want to give Marvel Zombies a try this weekend.
Kate Bishop's in it as well.
Yeah, Kate Bishop.
It was so funny. Someone tweeted out, because of course Kate Bishop now has a Hawkeye mantle as well.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, if that movie ever comes out, she's going to be one of the leaders of the Young Avengers. And they're like, she'll be 32 years old or something. The actress, Haley Steinfeld.
By the time
Young Avengers comes out, she's 28 right now.
Yeah, no, she'll be in her 30s.
Yeah,
she'll be in her 30s. I don't know how.
Will she be older? Was Scarlett Johansson younger than her when she first became an Avenger?
Probably. Probably at this point. I know, like, Chris Hemsworth and them were like 33, 34 or something like that.
Scarlett Johansson is now 40 years old. The Avengers came out 13 years ago. Yeah. So she's Haley Steinfeld's already older than Scarlett Johansson was when and she's going to be the leader of the Young Avengers. Okay, we'll see. Look, everyone can play younger. We'll see how it goes. All right, we got to go a little quick. Let's get to maybe some of your recs or maybe some things we shouldn't be watching.
Well, main one that I wanted to highlight for the theaters was One Battle After Another. That's getting rave reviews this weekend. There is the horror film The Strangers Chapter 2. I think it's going to work more for audiences because right now critics hate it. It's 17% right now with critics. So be aware of that. If you're looking for a thriller, though, in theaters, Dead of Winter starring Emma Thompson, she elevates what is kind of a by-the-numbers thriller and makes it something more, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's in limited release this weekend, Dead of Winter, so you might have to look around for theater times for that one. In terms of streaming, you got Slow Horses Season 5 on Apple TV Plus.
Episode 1. Still good.
Still good, yeah. Well, if critics and audiences agree, 90% and 88% with audiences. 90% with critics, 88% with audiences. That one is back. New episodes, I believe, premiere every Wednesday for Slow Horses. New show with Ethan Hawke, The Lowdown, which another one that's getting pretty good reviews from critics. A little bit mixed with audiences. 97% with critics, 67% with audiences. This comes from the creator of Reservation Dogs, which I really enjoyed that show. But it stars Ethan Hawke in Tulsa as it's like a noir type setting for that one. So it seems interesting. The first two episodes are out now on Hulu. Is any of the three of us beer drinkers at all?
I am not.
None of us are. Okay. So this is maybe going to land with somebody else. House of Guinness, apparently.
I'm watching that show.
Is it?
It's an odd experience because, of course, it's set in a certain it's a time period piece, but there's also modern music being played.
Shows have
done that in the past.
Yeah.
But this one in particular, it's, of course, Guinness, an Irish beer. So it's set in Ireland. It's about the Guinness family, and they're already in power. The patriarch is dead, so now the now the kids are taking over, and it's all the battles internally and also externally as people are trying to kind of ruin the family and the because they feel some of their practices are unfair.
It's from the creator of Peaky Blinders, so yep. Folks that like that show maybe will get a joy out of this one. And it's been described to me as a little bit Succession vibes.
Yes, kind of that.
Kind of that. So.
I will also tell you, if you were wondering what the actor who played Joffrey was up to, he's in it.
Oh, Jack, there you go.
Jack Gleason is in it. And since he's now doing promo for it, he's come out and said, Game of Thrones wasn't the reason I stopped acting. He has talked about that. But Jack Gleason is in it. And oddly enough, he's playing a little smarmy character. So he's
what
pretty,
a shock.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that. Joffrey back at it. Before we – you got anything else for us?
I'll just quickly mention Alice in Borderland on Netflix. Season 3 is out. Really good show from Japan.
I think I've watched season 1 and half of season 2. It is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to say this before we go.
Yes.
Keep the Duffer brothers away from TV.
They
are the creators of Stranger Things, and they've been called out because of the gaps between seasons.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you know what? Gaps are good for TV because they were like, it's diminishing returns if you don't take a long time. So I don't want them to make anything else I like.
Aww.
Because it'll be a decades long wait
right.
For them to complete their story.
If I got to wait 10 years for season 3, it's insane.
Hey, we're going to keep doing it because we think it's better for the process, as I say.
No.
Keep the Duffer brothers away, for at least from things I like. I don't need them making any more things that I like because I don't want to wait a decade.
Jong would yell right now. Yeah, he can't stand that way.
Well, that quote came out a couple hours ago now.
Ugh.
All right, we're done for the day. He mentioned Jong. He is the co-host of Comicast. You can hear that. Everywhere you listen to podcasts. And also, for the time being, Wednesdays, right here on ESPN 97.5 from 7 to 8.
Yeah.
AJ, we're done for the day, so what does that mean?
I'm going to do my own thing.
Oh, ooh, nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Crash out Spider-Man.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Miles Morales himself. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen's up next. I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.